What are you going to add to this offense, Grizzard? His career just baffles me. Yeah, got a honey baked ham.
Buccaneers fans, Super Bowl weekend with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Our last podcast, Ira, it is out there on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, like a jelly bean, Podbean.com, Podcast Addict, all kinds of platforms, and right there at JoeBucksFan.com.
Steve, I would even go back to podcasts because that was the one with Sean Sullivan. And anybody who didn't listen to that, I think they're missing out.
You can catch that there, too. We've got prospect talk there from Sean. That was before the Senior Bowl. He's going to be coming back with his best-in-class podcast, breaking down as we get closer to the combine and the draft. And, of course, everything is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Sage, guess what? New 2024 F-150 models up to $10,000 off MSRP. They've got 3.9% APR financing available. They've got a lot of good financing opportunities. They've got to get rid of these 2024s.
We can speak to the 150.
When he said F-150, my eyes lit up. It got my attention. It's a very good vehicle. But you know what, Ira? I put 80,000 miles on that rig already. And yes, I bought it from Bill Curry Ford. It's never broken down. Beautiful. I got 80,000 miles. It's never broken down. The only time I had that thing in the shop was for oil changes, maybe brake work. You know, your standard stuff, new battery. Just very standard stuff.
Every time I try to drive my wife's Ford Escape, she's all over me. You ain't getting in that car.
Well, Sage, you can get a new 2025 Ford Escape, lease for $264 a month for 36 months.
What a segue.
Check out the disclaimers, BillCurryFord.com. Family owned, that's the family last name.
Did you say 264 or 464?
Sage, you heard me, 264. Come on now. And you can check it all out, BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry.
And that's not to be confused with Bill Curry, the former Kentucky and Alabama coach who was always on Mike Greenberg's show. Different spelling.
Didn't he play for Lombardi's Packers?
He was a center for Lombardi's
Packers.
That's
right.
And Sage, that Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect at Bill Curry Ford. You got to ask Sean Sullivan. He's the GM, not just our draft guru. And they're even open Sunday service hours. From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So before the Super Bowl, you can go get that oil change that you've been putting off. Maybe change that radiator fluid, get your car checked out.
Get a loaner vehicle if you need one.
If you need one, BillCurryFord.com. Sage, you know, we mentioned the podcast. We got a couple of nice reviews on Apple. One says, excellent podcast as usual. Very informative and interesting and easy to listen to. And the other one says, insightful, authentic, and balanced pod on all things Buccaneers. So you like that?
I like it, and I want to see more. I want to see more feedback, Steve.
I'm easy to listen to? I can't
even
listen
to that might be a stretch, Lee.
Yeah.
We'll talk more later about Florida's Elite Restoration, who also helps us present the podcast, floridaselitestoration.com. Your first phone call when you have any issue in your home or property with fire, mold, flood damage, storm damage, whatever it is, call them first so you are in the best possible hands. Sage, a little bit of news on a couple of fronts. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
All right. Buccaneers, not too many, were at Super Bowl Media Row, and one of them was Tristan Wirfs. He said it's the first time he had been out there for a Media Row. Unlike other players, he wasn't promoting anything. He was just out there soaking it in, walking around.
They almost all have a product, usually.
Got a product. Usually they've got something they're pitching, you know, whether it's tea or breath mints or vitamins, whatever it is, they got something. And a lot of times it's a charity or something like that.
Right.
So. It's just the way it is. One day, we should probably get you out there. Somebody should sponsor you to go out there. Maybe Depends or... No, I'm kidding.
Dog food.
Geritol.
Dog food.
Cialis. Yeah, you know.
Oh.
Giddy up.
All right. So Tristan Wirfs is out there, and he stopped in with the WDAE spot, and he had a nice interview there. And first piece of news, you want the juiciest or you want the least juicy?
The least juiciest.
Least juicy is Monday, he returns to training and to rehab. He's taken the entire few weeks off. Remember, he sprained his knee against the 49ers. And then he couldn't come back after the bye week like everybody expected. He missed the Giants game and came back. He also had some ankle issues.
But he soldiered on, Steve. He did.
He soldiered on, and he talked about how not only is he getting back to training, he's getting back to, quote, rehab, which lets you know, hey, you know, these guys really get banged up. But he's been taking the full time off, been resting, and he's looking forward to getting back. He also said that Luke Goedeke, who's his training buddy, has been full throttle since the end of the season, and he's just, you know, all warriored out.
I love those two guys competing against each other, Lee. And I think you could argue Goedeke had almost as good a season as Wirfs. I mean, you could.
He had a good season, I'll say that.
He did. What a representative Wirfs is for the Bucks. Yeah. What a representative. All right, Steve, what's juicy?
Lee, do you have a thought on the Wirfs' health and what he said
there? Well, I got to give Wirfs, I'm not worried about his health because, you know, got a whole off season. As long as he doesn't need surgery, I'm not really worried. Wirfs, I got to give him compliments. I was listening to Ari Myrov's podcast. He's with the 33rd team. And I only asked him, what are you doing here? What's going on? He goes, I just landed. This is the first place I came to. Of all the places to go to in New Orleans, you know, offensive
linemen. He could have went to the gumbo shop, Lee.
That's what I was going to say. Offensive linemen, they like to eat. Of all the restaurants there, he goes straight to the media center, and he's not pimping anything, which I don't mind, but that speaks volumes about the guy.
Were there any Buck representatives following these players around?
No, absolutely not.
Wow.
Free
access.
Free range.
Free range.
Free range Buccaneers.
Wirfs dropped a word to describe new offensive coordinator Josh Grizzard. I want your reaction, Ira, because you were out there yesterday the other day when Grizzard spent like an hour.
My word is young. Well, what's Wirfs' word?
It's a Grizzard. That's how he says it. Yeah.
He referred to Grizzard first as Grizz, but he referred to him as a wizard.
A wizard?
That's the word he used.
Wow.
Wizard.
Well, he was the pass game coordinator.
Yeah.
So Wirfs did work with him in certain aspects. Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah, definitely had some exposure to him for sure. So
that's high cotton. Yeah, that's right. Wizard.
No, I don't expect him to say out there, oh, he stinks like hot to high heaven and he won't last half a season. But to refer to him as a wizard. That's
nobody beats the wizard, Dusty.
Nobody beats the wizard. So the other piece of news, the nugget, which validates things that we've talked about and wrote about, he was very clear that Baker Mayfield was part of the decision to hire
Grizzard.
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 You got me saying Grizzard.
You're right, Grizzard.
So he explained how they learned when they were in the Bahamas about Cohen coming back, and then he's not coming back, and then he's gone. He laid it out, painted a picture of Mayfield being very much involved, and he said, quote, Mayfield is top of the food chain, so he gets to help with the decisions and stuff.
Total validation, Lee, for what we've been saying. We've been saying it. He has reached that stature. It's incredible, Lee. Mm-hmm. He comes here when nobody else wanted him. Rock bottom, Lee.
Yep.
Otherwise, why would he sign a contract like that?
NFL trash heap.
And here he is 2 years later. He was very good in 2023. He was tremendous in 2024. He's the leader of this team, without question. He's the face of the franchise right now, without question. Mm. Unless you want to count KJ Britt or something.
I was thinking Levante, but
and,
okay.
And Lee, all three of us have been in agreement now for weeks, if not months. We wouldn't say he's running the show.
No.
Jason Light's the general manager. Bowles is the head coach. The Glazers write the checks. He's got an inordinate amount of influence on key decisions.
You know what word I'm thinking of, don't you?
He's got clout. Lee.
Bingo.
He's got clout.
Now,
I'm glad Wirfs said it on tape.
Am I jumping across too many hurdles when I say this? And I wrote this the other day on JoeBucksFan.com. Obviously, Wirfs and Mayfield are very tight. They're probably best friends. Let's say the Bucks hired Grizzard without Mayfield's stamp of approval. Would Wirfs go out and refer to him as a wizard if Mayfield told him, man, I don't like this hire?
Absolutely not.
That's what I'm thinking.
Wirfs also emphasized the amount of time, the amount of hours that Mayfield and Grizzard worked together on third down. He basically said that they spent so much time together that Wirfs feels confident because he knows if Mayfield spent all that time with him.
He mentioned specifically third down.
Wirfs did.
Did you say third down? Where the Bucks were the best in the league.
Yeah.
Number one in the league.
Correct. It's just further validation of the situation behind the scenes, things we've said. Very powerful guy, Mr. Mayfield, right now. I think he's going to get more powerful as this goes forward. Do you think that power extends to Ben Bredesen? That's a question I have for you guys. And also, do you think it extends to if he wants his buddy Sterling Shepard back and anything else they might do?
Well, Lee, I'm not going to go crazy, and I'm not going to say that Baker Mayfield's going to have a big impact on what edge rusher they're looking at in the draft or a cornerback. I think that's where that ends, and it should. Mayfield's not breaking down tape of cornerbacks. That's not his business, and he knows that. But Bredesen is interesting. I think Mayfield will have some influence, but he doesn't control the purse strings, and he doesn't know the details with Greenberg and what we can afford and what he's looking for. But, of course, he's going to sign off on Bredesen. Why wouldn't he, Lee? Why wouldn't he?
Mayfield's tight with the offensive lineman, which I think is kind of cool. Your quarterback's really tight with the offensive lineman. And of that click, there's a core, Mayfield, Wirfs, Bredesen, Robert Hainsey. Maybe there's someone else in there.
Maybe Gedeke.
Gedeke, yeah.
Just going through Instagram stuff, I don't see Gedeke with those guys as much as we would think. But I'm not saying he's not in there, but there's like a core click, like five guys, four guys. But Bredesen is in that click. And Steve brings up a very interesting point. I think Mayfield's very tight with him now. A lot of fans, for reasons I'm not really clear about, they don't want Bredesen. Ah, I got to get rid of him. And they bring up this I don't know, was I can't remember his name. Starts with the O. I don't know why he would bank on him. He never took a snap.
Elijah Klein?
No, there's some guy in they brought him and Bredesen in to fight for the left guard position.
Sua Opeda.
There, thank you, Opeda. And so I don't know why, you know, you would base anything on him. He didn't play. Bredesen played every snap on one of the best offensive lines in the game.
I don't understand the knock on Bredesen. I don't get it. He's not John Hanna.
Thank you. He's not John Hanna.
Fans are afraid. They're fearful that the Bucks will overpay for Bredesen when they don't need to.
I think it's interesting. Steve brings it up about Bredesen and Mayfield because they're in that tight click. And I'm sure Mayfield's telling Light, keep him.
Yeah.
What about Shepard?
Shepard.
Caught 30-something balls. Mayfield's going to want him.
He makes so many
He's a little erratic for me.
Thank you.
He's a little erratic.
He makes all kinds of bonehead decisions.
Yeah, he made about, I'd say, four or five bonehead decisions.
But he's a good backup.
He made some big catches.
Kansas City, especially.
I don't really want to count on him, though, Lee.
Backup. Number four.
Yeah, number four.
All right, Sage. So that was noteworthy there from Mr. Wirfs. And
I can't imagine a better representative for a team than Tristan Wirfs. It's hard to imagine.
Very good point.
He says all the right things. He never turns down an interview opportunity.
Oh, yes. Once with me.
Oh, no, but I mean, go to that podium over there, Tristan. Go behind the screen. They wear him out during the season in the locker room. They wear the guy out. He never complains about it. And you could say Levante David, too, but let's be honest, Lee, he's not as good a communicator as Tristan Wirfs. He's just not.
Bingo. Levante has never been comfortable in a limelight.
You know, Wirfs is the perfect Buccaneer.
Yeah, I'm not knocking Levante at all. That's just his personality. He's not comfortable being the center of attention.
All pro Wirfs on the right side, all pro on the left side. Who does that?
Nobody.
Who does that?
Nobody.
I mean, that's an incredible
Nobody
feat.
Has.
Yeah.
Nobody
that's
has.
That's the first time it's ever happened. Wirfs.
Stunning stuff, stunning pick. One of these days we'll get the truth from Jason Light on what his actual draft board looked like in 2020, which tackle he really wanted first. Was he pissed when Wirfs was the only one left, or did it go a different direction?
We got to get that story, Steve.
I don't know if he'll tell it. Maybe it's been enough time.
I got a media question related to Wirfs for you, Ira. You think he's smart enough or savvy? That's a better word. Savvy enough that he's not pimping anything, but he goes to the media center at Super Bowl thinking long-term, like, hey, when my football career is over, I might have a side gig here in the media.
I don't put it past him, and I think he could do that job.
Yeah,
I think
as an analyst,
yeah. He's got a long career ahead of him, though, Steve. That's the good part.
Not a big Buccaneer display at Media Row. No Baker Mayfield. Now, he's been there past years. Rashad White was out there. Yeah. Who else, Lee?
Well, I want to see Gerald McCoy, but obviously he didn't play. I want to see if there was a third person. I know Sapp was out there, and he walked off a set. CBS, he doesn't like Penn State pass rushers. They brought up Micah Parsons, and he just walked off the set.
I got something I want to say about Super Bowl week and Radio Row. I don't know why this irks me, but it does. You know the one person on this whole week that was totally, in my opinion, overexposed? He's everywhere. The guy's everywhere. And
you got to narrow that down. There's a lot of guys everywhere. McCoy?
He's a player. He's everywhere.
Tyreek Hill?
He should be in his prime. He should be kicking ass on the field. Instead, he's now a scrub, and the guy's everywhere. I've had enough of Jameis Winston.
Oh.
Enough with Jameis Winston.
He was hired to be there.
Why is he the representative of Super Bowl week? Well, Jabbo wins, and he's talking about eating W's. And go out and have a good season, Winston. I'm tired of looking at you.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. First, they're not programming for you, and maybe not for me either. He's got a personality. TV loves personality. So does radio.
Shouldn't this guy be kicking ass on the football field?
All right, look, let's clarify. He was paid by Fox Sports. So it's not like he's out there just doing crazy stuff on his own.
His career just baffles me.
What's baffling? He got hurt?
No. He's not hurt now.
His career depresses me. because you see what he could have been, but you also see what he is.
But he even drew a lot of picks for Cleveland in a limited
13
time.
13 and 12. That's Jameis.
Yeah, 12 picks.
13 and 12. 13 touchdowns, 12 picks. That's
Jameis. Don't you have to learn? At some point, don't you have to learn?
What drives me crazy, Jameis did a ton of interviews. What drives me crazy about him is that in every interview, he's sitting there talking about how authentic he is. And I think authentic people don't talk about how authentic they are. So that's a little weird when he's always talking about his authenticity and how he gets to be himself. And you know,
now, he hasn't been involved in any scandals recently.
We've dealt with Jameis personally, and that's kind of like a like Steve brought up. It's like, why are you pushing your authenticity? If you're authentic, you don't have to push it.
You know, to Lee's point, he made it many times on the podcast, and you weren't wrong, Lee. This guy's not a bum. This guy's not a stiff. I wouldn't even call him a bust as the first pick
in the
draft.
Yeah, he's not Jamarcus Russell.
Well, he's looking for a start.
But I don't know. He never advanced his game. I just it's a little
never
depressing.
Got over the hump.
It's a little depressing, Steve.
Yeah, because you see what he was. I mean, he's got a hell of a gun. He racked up great stats, except for
his
that one.
His teammates like him, Lee.
Oh, his teammates
like him.
But the one hang-up, which will kill you, you always bring it up to me, and I poo-poo it. But this time I'm agreeing with you. That one bugaboo is mortal in the NFL. Picks.
And that cost him Arians' confidence at the end of the 2019 season.
How many millions does that cost him?
Yeah.
Millions.
Those two games cost him. Those two games.
A big thing for Jameis, as far as a benchmark of where Jameis Winston is, you know, obviously Bo Nix all set in Denver. Jameis played his best ball with Sean Payton, and Sean Payton kept him. Sean Payton is a guy who has always believed in a quality backup quarterback. That was his MO in New Orleans. They didn't have, you know, the no-name guy. So I want to see this year, does Sean Payton call up free agent Jameis Winston and put him on his roster because he knows the offense and is the perfect backup?
He knows the bad and the good.
If he doesn't, it's going to surprise me. But, you know, Jameis is talking about playing for the Giants. Eli Manning seems kind of open to it. I saw him in some interviews. Michael Strahan was lobbying for it. You know, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, Michael Strahan lobbied for it. But here's one for you, Ira. It's opening night, Super Bowl opening night. And Jameis went up to Saquon Barkley and goes, I'm looking for a job. Where do I go? And Barkley, see, you're laughing. And that's why they hired Jameis. You know, ask these goofball questions. He did. He goes up to Saquon Barkley. He goes, Saquon, I'm looking for a job. Where do I go? He goes, Giants. Think about that.
Wasn't he asking a barrage of questions of the players at the podium?
The reason why I thought that was a very savvy suggestion from Saquon Barkley is it's pretty clear Jameis is on the front door of a media career. Like it or not, if you can do anything in New York, in Media Center of North America, you're set.
So, Sage, going back to Josh Grizzard, new coordinator. He's sitting around $1 now, honing the offense, trying to figure out what he did, what he wants to do. One quote I got from him was, things I've done in my past, I want to add to it. He talked in that news conference about bringing some of his Mike McDaniel stuff, things he's seen, into the Bucs offense. He clearly has good ideas. We talked about him not letting the offense get stagnant. Sage, do you think from your experience as a man of the world?
What an intro, Lee.
We were listening to...
if you say a woman of the world, that's not necessarily a compliment.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead, Stevie.
We were listening to Skip Pete, the running backs coach. He talked to a lot of media. Lee was talking to him. I was listening. I went back.
With Bucky Irving standing right next to him.
I think somebody asked Skip Pete about Grizzard or his readiness, his wizardry, whatever. Skip Pete was kind of like, you know, there are a lot of guys who are ready for this job, but not everybody gets the opportunity, which is, of course, is true, and everybody has a different personality and different leadership skills. But my question to you is, the guy's 34 years old, and he goes from coworker, first year in the team. He wasn't there like 5 years with the Bucs building his way up. He goes from first year, 34-year-old coworker. Now he's the boss. You think that could create some issues here?
No, I think he's going to use a lot of Cone's principles. And I think he'd be foolish if he didn't.
Yeah.
This is a hell of an offense, Lee.
I'm talking about the day-to-day real-life stuff.
No, because Mayfield's got his back. That's half the job. Well, as far as getting into the details with Grizzard, did I say it right? Grizzard. There you go. I got it right, Lee. I'm going to say it again, Lee. And you're tired of hearing it ad nauseum. But you know what? Part of you agrees with me. What are you going to add to this offense, Grizzard? What are you going to do that the 2024 Bucks weren't very good at? I got a two-pronged thing. Everybody says, well, wait a minute. What about those little slant passes that Antonio Brown years ago with Pittsburgh used to take them 60 yards? They don't have anybody like that, Lee. They don't excel at yards after the catch. They just don't. Although Godwin was doing pretty well with it before he got
hurt.
And
Evans does okay.
He does okay. So what does that lead me to, Lee? Go downfield. go downfield five times. I think I could talk Grizzard into it. I'm going to have a one-on-one meeting with Grizzard, and I'm going to give him my case for going downfield. And I don't think the Bucs did enough of it last year.
Well, number one, I agree with you. Number two, I know I pointed that out. Just like a matter of fact, I didn't criticize Liam Cohen. I called it a dink-and-dunk offense, which worked. You know, I always emphasize it. It worked. And a couple times I even wrote, only a complete a-hole would complain about this offense. I mean, it produced. And I guess Cohen took it personally. He gave me that noun about shout out, but he kind of needled me a little bit in a press conference. I thought it was funny. But anyway, didn't you ask Grizzard about that in our sidebar in the media workroom?
I believe I did. And
he didn't disagree.
He didn't disagree.
Now, interesting you would bring that up. You know, like you specifically use the analogy of Antonio Brown compared to, and I guess I could say this because he's gone, but after a practice one time, he's still out in the field, training camp practice. I went to Liam Cohen and said, Liam, this is off the record. Here's my phone. You can see I'm shutting it down. I don't have a notebook. I don't have a pen. Just eat me and you. And okay, because yeah, I'll talk.
This is during training camp?
Yeah, it was right after practice, during training camp. We talked about Trey Palmer. And he basically told me what they wanted to do with Trey Palmer was, you remember the touchdown he scored against the Eagles in the playoffs? It was like maybe a 7-yard pass, 8-yard pass. Made one guy miss. Boom, he was off to the races. That's what they wanted to do with him this year. Palmer vanished. He was almost invisible. Outside of being with the duck on the punt return, he was pretty much invisible. So I don't know why that didn't happen, because Cohen specifically told me in training camp in August that was a goal of his, wanting to get him the ball.
Admittedly, they don't have Tyreek Hill on the roster. Okay. But having said that, they don't have any weapons that would encourage an offensive coordinator to go downfield more? I don't understand.
Look, they had a very successful offense. They made great decisions. I get what
Trey
you're saying.
Trey Palmer can't go downfield?
You brought up something I was going to ask you. Now, this is just perception.
Especially now that you got a credible ground game.
I don't know if there's some substance behind this or not, but it never seemed like Trey Palmer and Mayfield were on the same page on bombs. I hate to use Jameis and DeSean Jackson as an analogy, because DeSean Jackson purposely ran wrong routes. We know that. You know, he wanted Jameis out of here. The a-hole that he is. The only reason I brought up DeSean Jackson was people don't think that there was any chemistry. Well, there was no chemistry, partly because the asshole was running wrong routes on purpose. Why was there, was it my perception, or you guys got a different feel? It never seemed like Palmer and Mayfield were on the same page when it comes to long passes.
They don't have a good synchronicity. How do you like that word?
One thing I worry about, Ira, is Grizzard handling the pressure of the Mike Evans streak, because it will all be there again. And the reaction from Grizzard was, well, you know, Evans is a big part of the offense. If everything goes okay, he'll get the streak. And he did darn well last year, missing a few games. However, I think that's kind of revisionist history. Last year, Evans was not on a good pace for the streak. Chris Godwin was getting a ton of yardage and targets. And the Bucs running game was starting to take over. So if everything went as planned last year, if Evans doesn't get hurt, I don't know if he necessarily got the numbers. Excuse me, if Godwin didn't get hurt. So I think it's a lot of pressure for a young coordinator, you know, when you got history at stake and obviously the whole franchise cares about it. And his boss, Liam Cohen, almost screwed it up.
You didn't mention that Evans missed three games. So you got Lee, here's what I'll say about the Evans streak. From what I can determine, Mayfield's fanatical about it. Mayfield, when the season starts, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about Mike Evans' streak. And wants to keep it going. It's a big, big part of what Mayfield's all about. I don't care what Grizzard does in terms of not giving, telling Mayfield, you know, spread the ball around and let's throw some Kate Otten passes or whatever. Baker Mayfield is obsessed with Evan's streak, and he showed it in the last game.
So are you saying the conversation between Cohn and Mayfield was, let these other guys wet their beak? Is that what you're saying?
And Mayfield said, you're a pebble in my shoe, Cohn. Get away from me.
Now, is part of that reason that Mayfield, in your words, not mine, obsessed, he doesn't want his name hung on the first season that Evans...
That could be part of it, but I think he genuinely loves Mike Evans.
Oh, yeah.
Sage, Mike Evans at the Pro Bowl, he was asked about playing in the Olympics in 2028. Flag football is going to be a sport. It's in Los Angeles. You know, it's been kicked around that the NFL players, retired guys will be in there. Evans was asked the question, very casual setting, and he paused and he was like doing some math in his head, and he made it clear, well, if I'm retired by 2028, maybe I will be, I don't know, but yeah, I'd be interested. And so his mind was maybe I'm still playing in 2028. I don't care about the 2028 number. my brain went to, well, he damn sure expects to be playing in 2027 if he's hedging on 2028. So, you know, in my mind, we've talked about this before, but I'd love to see that extension come right now for Mike Evans. It'll free up some cap room for him. And
I think it'd be a wonderful gesture by the Bucks, well deserved. I think Evans could still be effective in 2027. I'm not pushing him to 2030, Lee. I'm not. He's a rare breed. You know, Larry Fitzgerald was still prolific as his years got older. Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt played a long, long time. Mike Evans keeps himself in damn good shape, Lee. The only thing I worry about, if he does tweak a hamstring or a calf muscle, it's going to take him longer to recover.
Perfect response. And we saw that this year. When Steve mentioned, this is one of those elements that I wish we had video. When Steve mentioned 2028, the way you winced.
Well, you know why I went? Because I don't want to think about him chasing another flag football player. I hope he's not thinking about that. I got no interest in flag football. Zero. I'm not even sure how you play the thing, Steve. What do you do? Take the flag out of somebody's butt? What are you doing?
I'm not going there.
I don't understand. What's the object of the game?
We'll give you flag football lessons on another podcast, right, Sage. So it's Hall of Fame time of year, and that means it should be on everybody's mind that the Hall of Fame restoration company in the Tampa Bay area is Florida's Elite Restoration. That's who you call. First call, immediately, 24/7, when you have any disaster in your home. They will come out to you. They're not just going to, like, take a bunch of your information and hack your phone. They're going to find out what's wrong. They're going to understand your panic, and they're going to get out there and look at the flood and look at the mold that you found with the best technology and let you know how to proceed. You got to call them before you call your insurance company. They're family-owned. Josh Martin, big Bucks fan, big fan of the Sage. We're big fans of him. FloridasElitereStoration.com is the website. Get there now. Familiarize yourself so they're in your disaster plan. Before you know it, it's going to be hurricane season, as crazy as that is to even think about. But if you mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call, you'll get $500 back. If you need their services, as Ira likes to say, Josh and his people.
Josh and his people, he's got a hell of a crew. And they're very successful. I think they're going to be expanding, and they should expand.
They've already expanded, covering the entire Tampa Bay area across Florida. Our friends in Orlando, don't hesitate. FloridasElitereStoration.com. And as we mentioned before, Sage, all of your work is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford dealerships since 1960. Shop there first, BillCurryFord.com. Now, Sage, you are one of the Hall of Fame selectors. And the Hall of Famers for this class were named on Thursday night. Eric Allen, Jared Allen, hey, an edge rusher.
There you go.
Lee's cheering. Antonio Gates, a great tight end. And Sterling Sharp, a guy who I don't know if I would have put into the Hall of Fame, a wide receiver.
He was a senior candidate, Steve.
I understand. Senior candidate. And still not sure he was a Hall of Famer.
That's a small class, Stevie. Small class.
And now that was from a large list of finalists, usual. Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Willie Anderson, Jari Evans, Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly, Eli Manning, Steve Smith.
Vinatieri. Yep.
Vinatieri, Fred Taylor, Terrell Suggs, Reggie Wayne, Darren Woodson, Marshall Yanda. They didn't get in. So your thoughts on the class and a lot of this controversy around Eli Manning?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm going to get Buck fans very excited here because this organization, the Buccaneers, they're going to ramp up efforts to get Simeon Rice some recognition as a Hall of Famer, and they're going to be very proactive about it. So I think we're all on board with that because I don't want to speak for the three of us, but I think Simeon Rice's case should be heard in front of the selectors. And it never has, Lee. You can't get in if you don't make it to the finalist list. So I salute the Bucks for ramping up those efforts. As far as this class of 2025, Steve, all four of those guys, in my opinion, are very deserving. Sterling Sharp, I'll address it right now. Short career, certainly. Short career. But he was a dominant player. Now, in my opinion, if you have a short career, I think in analyzing a guy's career, I think you got to extend the bar. You got to raise the bar. If you have a short career rather than a 15-year career, you got to be that much better if you only played 6 or 7 years. And I think Sharp reaches that bar. I do. I think he and Rice were the dominant receivers of his time when Sharp was in the league. I've talked to Ron Wolf, Hall of Fame executive. Of course, he played for Ron Wolf, Packers. He said, quote, "He's all we had, Ira, for some of those years. He's all Favre had to throw to. We didn't have anybody else. And every other team that we played knew that, and they couldn't stop him." So I don't have any problem with Sterling Sharp. I will say this, Lee. the small class. For example, Mike Holmgren was the choice of the coaches committee. This guy, Ralph Hay, who was the co-founder of the league, 1920. I understand people never heard of the guy. He was the choice of the, you know, the contributor committee. Mm-hmm. And then there were three seniors. And we were supposed to pick three out of those five, and then they got to get 80% of the vote.
Oh.
Well, only one of those five are going to wear a gold jacket. It's Sterling Sharp. Holmgren's out. And, I might add, with Belichick being in the mix next year, unless he joins the NFL this year and doesn't go to UNC, he's eligible immediately. There's no five-year wait. There's no five-year wait for coaches.
Oh, for coaches.
For coaches. So Holmgren goes to the back of the line. He's already been advanced.
And Mike Shanahan.
But Shanahan's never been advanced.
Okay.
So Holmgren's in the back. I would say Mike Holmgren's almost a dead man walking. And so is Shanahan and Coughlin and those guys next year. Of course, Belichick's going to go right ahead of him. So my biggest complaint is for 3 years, a bunch of us old-time guys, were talking to the executives at the Hall of Fame. And they said, hey, what's the biggest thing we can do? What do we need to address? And we all said, get more seniors in. Get these guys that were bypassed for no good reason, that are valid and worthy, and let's get them in. There only used to be one senior a year. Well, they decided to bump it up to three seniors a year. We were very happy with that. So what happens now with this new rule, with the 80% rule and this and that? Only one out of the three seniors got in. And the other guys were Maxie Bourne and Jim Tyra. And they got left by the wayside. And they're not going to be back, you know, as the choices of the senior committee.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, because they've already been voted on. Let's get a new guy in there. That's going to be the attitude. So right now we're failing on that mission of getting more seniors into the hall. And for a lot of us, that was a critical point, and it looks like we're going backwards on that. I also feel bad for guys like Torrey Holt. There was a guy named Willie Anderson. The only thing I liked was there were five first-year eligibles out of the 15. That's a big number. And a lot of us think that we were putting in too many first-year eligibles and leaving these guys that were waiting, like a Jared Allen, behind. And none of the first-year eligibles. Manning, Kuechly, Yanda, Vinatieri, and was it Steve Smith?
Steve Smith, I'm not sure he was first-year.
I don't know, but none of them got in. I like that.
Kuechly was a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to add, Steve, it's not going to get any easier for the Torrey Holts of the world or the Willie Andersons of the world, because next year, here comes Drew Brees, and that's going to affect Eli Manning, because anybody who would be audacious enough to say Eli Manning had as good a career as Drew Brees,
no.
I think that's nuts. That's absolutely, you're deluding yourself.
No, you got to ask how many cocktails
you're crazy.
No, that's ridiculous.
Here comes Larry Fitzgerald next year. I think he's going to sail right ahead of Holt, Wayne, and Smith. And I don't necessarily have a problem if he does. I think he's a cut above. So, you know, Roethlisberger's coming. Brady's coming.
Well, Brady's no doubter.
Eli Manning could be in a little bit of trouble here, Lee. No rule says you can't put two quarterbacks in the same year. You know, is that going to happen? Maybe. So anyway, we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to talk about seniors. But this short class, Lee, on that Saturday when they have all the speeches, there's only going to be four speeches.
It's hard on...
How are you going to fill 6 hours on
it's
that?
Hard on one hand for the selectors to say we need to get more seniors in. Or it's hard to say that on one hand. On the other hand, only put four guys in. So which is it?
Yeah.
Which is it?
Yeah.
I still say the Hall of Fame, not you, Ira. I still say the Hall of Fame does a pathetic job on educating the public how guys get voted.
The process.
This committee and that committee and this group and that group. Nobody knows.
Yes.
And
yes.
All it does is get people pissed off when they see, well, this guy didn't get in because he's in this group. And it makes no sense. And I blame the Hall of Fame for that, because they need to get people on sports radio nonstop. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. This is how. Because people don't know. They do not know.
And talk it up that it's a better process than baseball. But there's no discussion.
No.
So. Sage, I hate to be too cynical, but you know what? This is about money. And the Hall of Fame needs to make money. They're a business, and they need their massive weekend.
Their big weekend is enshrinement week.
They need that to pay for probably half of their budget for the year, and that whole community relies on all those tourists.
And here come all these fans. Here come all the tourists.
So now they just cost themselves a fortune of money by only inducting four guys.
Yeah.
You're not going to have all those fans coming in representing and all the parties and everything. So it shouldn't be about money, but ultimately it will be fixed because it just cost them a lot of money.
Did it surprise you at all that in terms of the backlash to the announcement on the NFL Honor Show, who's getting in and who's not getting in? I don't think you were very surprised that from what I could have read and see, 90% of the backlash centered around Eli Manning. Am I wrong? Was anybody talking about Marshall Yanda?
The only backlash I saw on social media about the honors evening had nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. It's 3 days later now. People are still in an uproar about this Lamar Jackson.
You're right.
Still in an
uproar.
That's
on the front burner.
But as far as the Hall of Fame, it's not even a backlash. It's just the same reaction I had. I'm surprised Kuechly didn't get it. And not that he deserved it, not that he didn't deserve it, just they're surprised because so many people built the guy up. And all of a sudden...
And you might have felt the same way about Antonio Gates last year. Why didn't Antonio Gates get it?
I didn't see a build-up like Kuechly. It's been years in the making. Okay. Kuechly's great. And all of a sudden he gets voted. No, he's not voted. It just seemed odd.
Sage, the Kuechly thing upset me only because the longer he hangs around, the harder it'll eventually be for Levante David.
Bingo. I thought
so.
That's a good point.
That's
Steve.
The angle. All right, Ira, look, we're getting out of here, but not before we get Super Bowl picks.
That's right.
From
the
Sage.
That means you got to post this podcast.
Yep, that's why we're getting
post-haste.
That's why we're getting out of here. All right, so Super Bowl, Sage.
By the way, did you ever tote up what our picks were for the Bucks for the season? And I don't mean what their record was going to be, but the weekly picks and to see who had the best record. Did you ever tote that up, Steve?
When I realized I lost, I stopped keeping track. So it was either you or Lee.
Okay.
It's either you or Lee.
All right, so you want to talk a little bit of Eagles-Chiefs. Eagles-Chiefs. I'll kick it off, Steve. And you know my affiliation with the Chiefs, Lee. Goes back a long time. Nobody's going to say I'm a front runner and jumped on the bandwagon 5 years ago when Mahomes showed up. So, Lee, here's what I'm going to say. The Eagles have a better roster. I think they got the best roster in football. Maybe Detroit, if Hutchinson was healthy, if they were healthy, could match them. That's number one. This is the weakest of the Chiefs Super Bowl teams, in my opinion. Even though they only lost one game that really mattered, because I throw out the Denver game at the end, nobody played. They only lost one game. They win all the close games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start with things that are in the Chiefs' favor, quickly. They know how to win close games. They have Mahomes. And I think they have a huge edge at a position that might be undervalued for a team that plays close games. Their kicker is much better than the Eagles' kicker. It could come down to Elliott against Butker. And I'll take Butker 7 days a week. He's a clutch kicker. Elliott struggles, especially on long kicks. That's a factor in Chiefs' favor. They also have Reed and Spagnuolo. I'll give them the edge in coaching over the Eagles. But I don't want to overanalyze this, Lee, and I'm going to throw it to you right now. I don't think they're going to stop Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And as a result, I don't think Mahomes is going to get enough snaps, enough series. And this could be a case where, remember the Bucs against Washington in the playoffs, where I think the Bucs had 44 snaps and like seven series. This could be a game like that. As great as Mahomes is, Lee's got to have the ball to be effective. I don't think they can stop Barkley. That's my opinion.
You stole my thunder. The last half dozen games, Kansas City has been poor at stopping the run. You don't want to be poor stopping the run.
And they didn't face
Saquon.
A Barkley.
Not face Saquon Barkley. So I think that's, in a nutshell, Kansas City's death now. What I will say about the Super Bowl, in particular the Chiefs, I don't get this Chiefs fatigue. I know Chris Russo, your buddy, is going bananas about this. Why? Mahomes seems like a really cool guy.
He does.
Do you know anybody that hates him?
Who doesn't like Andy Reid?
Who doesn't like Travis Kelce? Okay, his girlfriend. You don't like her music. I don't care what she's on there. Like 40 seconds a game? 40 seconds? Really? You're gonna slit your throat because of 40 seconds out of a 3.5-hour broadcast. Baloney. So I don't understand. I had Patriots fatigue because they were assholes. Belichick. I hope this gets to him because that means I'll be talking to him at some point, but he was an asshole. I'm sorry. That was his public image. He may be an okay guy in person. He was a complete asshole, his public image. They were linked to all kinds of cheating scandals. They fought with the media. They didn't cooperate. They fought with the media.
They showed no respect to the media.
That was an assholian, and yes, that's a word, that was an assholian franchise. I hated them. There are Super Bowls I did not watch because the Patriots are there. I still haven't seen one play from the Atlanta-New England Super Bowl.
But you don't feel the same way about KC?
Absolutely not, because they're likable guys, and they're excellent. I like excellence as long as they're not assholes. These guys are excellent. So I do not understand this Chiefs fatigue. And Russo, it sounds like he's having a child. He's so in agony about it. Like, where were you when the Patriots were doing this stuff? So I don't get it.
Are you surprised the Chiefs are favored in this game, Steve?
No, because the line is just set on perception. You know, like you said, I think the easiest thing for me is if you just go player by player, the Eagles are rolling out an all-star team compared to the Chiefs. But better coaching on that side, better quarterback play. Who knows? I mean, the last game was close. If I really somebody forced me to bet, I would bet on the Chiefs because they're the Chiefs. They played close games all year long. Didn't matter the opponent. And
that's, you know, not an accident, right? Winning those games.
And I'll take Mahomes in the close game. But I think it's a toss-up. I really do. It should be a fun one.
I will say this, Lee. They play the 49ers twice and beat them twice. I thought the 49ers had the better roster there. So in that respect, be careful betting against the Chiefs. Be careful.
The Sage's money has been put down. We'll be back on the Ira Kaufman podcast next week.
You got it.